right? That you're here this morning, that we're here this morning. Did you dismiss the children, Tim? You didn't? Children ages 4 to 11, we have History Makers. And come on up, Dan. Yes, History Makers, you can head out the back door. And Dan, bring that up here. There we go. I just want to show you guys something. I just want you to realize Jessica Halter's giving Dan walking instructions of how to walk like Vanna White. He's not doing so good. He's walking like a man. This is something Pam Dolan and Pam and Tracy, they have invested in this production. And this is a guy who made a bunch of Christian movies, and he produced something that was out in the theaters last year called Show Me the Father. And it's a story of four different families and dads and the importance of fathers and mothers. It's just a family deal. And so they're going to show, they've paid to be able to show this movie here at Grace. So Tuesday night at 6 p.m., we're showing this this show, Show Me the Father. You can go online and watch previews of it if you want to. We've seen it, and it's really good. So if you have any friends that would like to watch it, bring them. It's free for everybody. And that'll be Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Everyone's invited. So you'll enjoy it. Good. Thank you, Dan. You did great. That was perfect. Perfect. Whatever. So let's just get started. Y'all ready? You ready? 1 John 4:17. That's part of the verse on the board. That verse says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have the boldness, we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. And I don't know, I want to spend a couple of weeks focusing on Jesus, and I want you to understand that when John wrote these words, he meant what he said. As He is, as Jesus is, and he used a tense that's really important. As Jesus is right now, when John wrote that, Jesus is seated in heaven on a throne. He's already defeated all darkness and evil and defeated death and rose from the dead. And John had the boldness to say to us, as He is right now, so are you in this world. And that's a challenge. Do you feel like that? That as Jesus is, you know what Jesus is doing right now? The scriptures make it clear. He's seated on the right hand of the Father, seated on a throne, ruling and reigning, present. As He is, so are we right now. Have any of you achieved that place yet? Don't raise your hand because you'll be embarrassed. I haven't gotten there yet. If this verse is true, I'm not there yet, and it is true. And I want you to realize some things. So we're going to look at Jesus. We're going to look at His birth. And you realize that before His birth, there were prophecies that happened for hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years. Over 300 prophecies about the Messiah, about the Christ coming and being born of a woman, of a virgin. There were over 300 prophetic words about Him coming. And Jesus fulfilled every single one. It's mathematically impossible for that to happen. But I want to tell you, when God has something in His heart, nothing stops it. And that day, I want you to look at, we're going to talk about our destiny. I want to talk about that today because I don't know that you and I realize that. You know, that first song we sang, what did it say? I'll praise you in the morning, and we'll all praise Him in the morning. You know what prophetically that songwriter was saying? You know, poetically and rhythmically, those songs are very important. That songwriter saying, before anything happens, I choose to praise you, God. I'm going to worship you, God. Before anything has happened in my day, good or bad, I'm going to praise you. And then he said, they made another statement, at the end of the day, I'm going to praise you. You know what that means? It doesn't matter if you had your legs cut out from underneath you. It doesn't matter if the earth swallowed you up. It doesn't matter what happens, God, I am praising you. And I'm going to say, you are good. I'm going to say it before anything happens. I'm going to say it after it's happened. Because, guys, we don't know what's going to happen the rest of this day. But at the end of the day, I want to tell you with confidence, you can stand up and say, it may have been the most painful day of your life. It may have been the day that someone very important to you passed away. It may have been the day that you lost everything financially. It may have been the day when your greatest, fondest dream fell apart. But I want to tell you, at the end of that day, I'm going to stand and say, you are good. There's a power released in your life when you start out before you get blessed and you end the end with whatever happens and you say you are good on both ends. God, it'll change your world. I've gone through pain. So have you. I've been broke. I've been hurt. But I want to tell you that he's good. When it hurts, he's good. Before it happens, he's good. And that's the truth. And so we're going to look at these scriptures, because here's something about Jesus I want you to notice when we're looking at this. In Luke chapter 2, we're going to be there. We're going to go all the way through verse 52, I think it is. Not today. But this is a passage. After all those prophecies about Jesus, this is what happened according to Dr. Luke. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus, why is that important? They said that. Out of all of history, God chose those days for the birth of his son. Do you know the same thing's true for you and me? And our children, and our children's children, and our nation, and the church, and everything that is. God chose the day you were born. He had it. He saw you before anything ever happened. He saw you. Do you believe that? Are you holding it against him? That's a joke. That was sort of funny, but it's not. Sometimes we wish we weren't born. Guys, God has a plan for you. It doesn't matter what's happened in your life. It's not going to stop God's destiny and plan for your life. You are a person of destiny. The same as Jesus. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 5. As Jesus is now, so are we. Did God choose the day that Jesus was born? Yes. He didn't just choose a day. He arranged this horrible, demonically driven government to send Jesus, Joseph and Mary, back to Bethlehem. He had Caesar Augustus issue a decree that a census should be taken in the entire Roman world, which was the entire known world at that time. Do you know God did just the same thing for all of us? Every one of us. In those days, you were born was the day God chose. This moment in history, God chose. And we're all a part of it. And we need to realize that. It's the same as Jesus. You're that important. How important was Jesus? I love we sang all these songs. You can't overpraise him. You can't overthank him. He really is everything. And everyone went to their own town to register. In those days, applies to us all. Your life was planned. Your life is intentional. You do have a destiny. And God has himself been providing for you through people, through governments, through economies, through your family. God has provided for you. And let's don't be like the people who don't give God the credit for that, who are entitled. Well, he has to provide for me. No, he doesn't. He does. He chooses to. And you know what the truth is? Just like with Jesus, who watched out for Jesus? Who took care of him? The angels. All of heaven was participating with Jesus and his life. That birth in that manger. Y'all know what happened there. We're going to read the story. But you know, all of heaven was moving so that this Jesus could be born. And you and I tend to negate our value because of his great value. John the Apostle said that we're both valuable. As he is, so are we. Don't put yourself down by putting him up. And don't put him down to get you down. He's there. And John said, we're there too. We're there too. You're just as important in God's plan. Aren't you adopted into his family the same as Jesus? Aren't you seated with him right now in heavenly places like Jesus? Aren't you're the head, not the tail? Doesn't the whole world depend upon what's going to happen through the body of Christ, through all of us? Yes. You see, I think that sometimes we just don't realize that. So I want you to look at Jesus' birth, and I want you to think about everything God's communicating about his son, God's communicating about his son, which should be us, all of us. So as he is, so are we in this world. Now, let's go to the next. We already did that. We're going to Luke chapter 2, verse 4 through 52. Get ready. You know, but I didn't mind doing this. With the Lord, I was like, Lord, people get bored. I can't read that much scripture. This is the birth of Christ. Is there anything better you've got to do with your time than think about him? No. It's unbelievably valuable. And you're going to be involved. So don't give up. It's really going to be good. And I think it's worth you studying. This next week, preparing for next Sunday, you need to read through this and meditate on it. And you know, we're going to say that. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. You could trace Jesus' lineage all the way back through Joseph's lineage and Mary's. And Joseph was his stepdad, right? Adoptive dad. And Mary was his mother. And you could trace Jesus all the way back through both of those lineages. And it was all the way to the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Y'all know the story. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Oh, I'm sure God was shocked. He knew whether he was shocked where you were born, when you were born, who you were born to. God was not shocked. He loved you, same as he loved his son. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And then at the perfect time, you were born. I was born. And just like Jesus. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I'll bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." You know, when you're reading this, I want you to think about it and study it and go through the whole thing, you know. Don't neglect anything. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told of them about this child. They spread word about what the angel told them. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise a child, he was named Jesus, the name of the angel, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. As it is written of the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves of two young pigeons. Now it's all important. It really is, but you can meditate on this. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took Jesus in his arms, took him in his arms, and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." I think it's very important we pray for eyes today. Simeon saw something, and what he saw, he released. He prophesied over our Messiah, which you have prepared in sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what is said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child, when you're being spoken to prophetically, you need to understand the Lord Himself is saying, this child, this child, this child, this child, this child." It's not something we ignore. You know, there's a great temptation in our world, in our charismatic world, to ignore the prophecies of God over our lives. To not take seriously that God Himself has stepped down from heaven and pointed His finger at you and said, "You, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you." Just like Simeon said to Mary, "This child's destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too, Mary." And then there was also a prophet named Anna. She was old as dirt. She was like 104, 105 at least, maybe 115. She was the daughter of Peniel in the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. The first thing I want you to understand, as Jesus is now, so are you. That means you have direct access to the God of heaven. Every single one of us have direct access to God Himself. It's like you're not going through an intermediary. You're not paying to get to go to the green room at the concert. You have access. You've got His phone number. You've got the key to His house. You have direct access to Him. And you know what? That means you have a responsibility to access Him. You have direct access to God the same as anyone. You have direct access to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit right now. Okay, let me ask you a question. Did anybody this morning, either before you got here or on the way to church or during meeting people or when you were here worshiping so far today, did anybody have an encounter with Jesus during those today, up until now today? Like during worship, when you were praying, when you were just at home, did you actually have an encounter with this God that we worship? Yeah? If you're brave, I want a couple of you to come up here and tell us, share your encounter with us. It'll encourage us, okay? So I know this is like, wait, you didn't warn me. I couldn't warn you because I didn't know who was going to have encounters. So you got to be brave. You know, Jesus, you haven't suffered yet to the shedding of blood. That's what the scriptures say. This is not that bad. You can come up here. Okay, now here we go on three. Okay, just stand up. Let's start there. Okay, go ahead and stand up and then come up here because I want you to share with the whole body. So come on. Yes, Kelly will. She's a sacrificial lamb. Come on up. Okay, somebody else is supposed to come too. I think I'm supposed to have at least two or three. You can do it down there, Kelly. I'll come down there. That'll make it easier for everybody else.
Okay.
If you're coming, come on because we've got to go.
So during worship, I was standing over there in that area, and it was a song about being at Jesus' feet. I don't ever remember the words, but so I just was just seeing myself just leaning on the Lord, like just, like, you know, like he's sitting here and I'm in the floor, like leaning against him. And it just was so peaceful and just renewing and beautiful and precious, just a lot of peace. And I was just lost in that moment. And then the funny part is somebody came and Chris Hoffman was standing close to me and somebody came and hugged him. And he said something to him, and it startled me, and I literally jumped because I was so just with the Lord and all that peace. And then I hear this voice outside of that, and I mean, I did like this, and I looked around to see if anybody saw me jump. Anyway.
Good. Great work. Great work. Come on up, Rick. Okay, I want to know who stole Kelly's peace. Who did that? Y'all interrupted her experience with the living God. I don't think that's possible, actually.
Well, for me, this encounter started just preparing for...
Love. It's back.
Sweet. Got love back, has been restored. So mine started with preparing for just talking about communion and Jesus talking to the crowds and the disciples and just him illustrating with the bread, the tangible bread that we can all eat. And he talked about the difference, how it becomes eternal in us, and he compared it to himself. Of course, it was a big revelation for them, and it is for us. But for me, just seeing that God used bread to illustrate him, and isn't that what Jesus did for us? I mean, he became flesh for our sakes. He's forever man. He became flesh for our sakes. But so in the worship time of worship, I just saw Jesus in the eternal realm. I'm thinking it's like I saw Jesus physically like we all do, but it was like it's like it went further than that. I saw Jesus in the eternal realm. And so how do you explain what you see, right? It's real for me, but yeah. That's what I saw.
Come on. Good. Thank you, Rick. Okay, I think we're supposed to have one more. So, okay. Shelby. Right, Shelby? Shelby Young? Good. Thank you, Shelby.
Okay, so mine isn't for me personally, but me and Tyler are youth leaders, and so on Wednesday nights, I've been talking to them about peace and what we talk about on Sundays. And so Wednesday, I talked to them about how, like, having peace, you have to trust someone to be able to sit in that peace. Yeah. And so we talked about encounters with God, which I think it's hilarious that you're talking about that today. And so we had a lot of new youth on Wednesday, and one of them shared that he had an encounter with God one time when he was sitting at his house, and he had encountered an angel, and like God just put all this heat on him, and he just couldn't stop crying. And it was just really cool because I had never met this kid before, and he was just brave enough to share this encounter that he had with us, and it was just a good time.
Cool. That's cool. Thank you. Thank you, Shelby. That is... Do you realize how hard that is for a young man to admit that he got overwhelmed and couldn't stop crying with God's presence? That's a huge, that takes a lot of courage, right? I think there might be one more. And if you get burning so bad you can't stand it, you can still tell about your encounter, okay? That's not over. You see, God has something to say about your life. You understand that the Scriptures were speaking about Jesus, and as He was growing up as a young man, it's like He began to see Himself in the Scripture. He began to recognize, oh, that's me. I mean, I really can't figure out what happened to Mary, to all the people that heard these things prophesied about Him. Like, why weren't any of them like, we don't have any evidence that any of them actually took it serious. And even Mary said, Jesus, don't do that. You don't want to go there. You're, no, son, come back home. You know, but God's speaking to you through Scripture, if you'll look, just like He was speaking to Jesus, because as He is, so are we in this world. So you need to read Scripture. You need to look for yourself, because that's who you are. That's really who you are, and that's your destiny. And you'll see yourself. You'll begin to see yourself in those Old Testament stories. Who's bringing salvation to the world today? You know, Jesus is the light of the world. We are a light in the world, a city set on a hill. You see, it's the same thing. Jesus understood. Listen, I'm going away, but I'm going away so that the Holy Spirit can come and live in you. He understood. This isn't about me staying here and ruling as supreme authority. This is about me going to heaven and living and ruling and reigning and you bringing the kingdom on earth. You see, it's the same thing as us. So the Scripture talks about you. You know how else Jesus learned who He was? People prophesied to Him, like we just read about. It said Mary took those things that Simeon and Anna said, and she put them in her heart, and she pondered them. And I know that she told Him, Jesus, this is what was said about you. You know, and you know what happens? Guess what happens today? God will speak to you through Scripture about who you are, and God will speak to you through the body of Christ about who you are. And I guarantee you He will. That's how He spoke to His Son. And as He is, so are you. So we're going to take a few minutes and do something a little unusual. And you don't have to participate if you don't want to. But I would like you to, let's all stand up. This will be easier. Pop's moved. So we moved him. About his whole case, small group came and helped him. He moved yesterday. He's in Kansas now, in Kansas, Missouri right now. Okay, now I want you to pair up, or really pairs would be better. But if you need three, that's okay. So, okay, find somebody that you don't mind talking to and pair up with them, if you don't mind. Because I'm going to ask you to do an exercise. You didn't volunteer for this, I know, but... And, yeah, you don't have to pair up with your spouse. And you can go to threes or twos if you want to. You can pair up if you want to. If you don't want to, you don't have to. You're not going to get tackled by an usher. Yeah, you're not going to get taken down if you don't. But I believe God's going to do this because God does this. He said He does it. I believe when we pray for each other, so what I want us to do is take us just, I'll tell you how long, just a minute, a couple of minutes at the most. And if ask permission, if the person you're prayed with doesn't mind, you can lay hands on their shoulder or touch them, you know, not lightly. And ask God to give you His heart for them. Because you're going to speak encouragement over them, the same as Simeon and Anna did over Jesus when He was a baby. So we're just going to take a minute. And, go first. One of you go first. Choose first, you know. Choose somebody to go first. And then the other one will pray for the other one, if you can. And you're just going to, here's how you do it. God, would you speak to me about them? And then listen inside and tell them whatever it is you feel like the Lord's saying to you. It's encouraging. No cursing, only encouragement. and then we'll do it for the other person. Okay, so I'm going to say, ready, go, first person. Go ahead and give them the word if you got, give them what you feel like God said. Now do the second person or the third person now. Switch off. Hey, if you're finished, you can sit down. Be okay. If you want to. It's all right, you've got time, no hurry. So I know you guys, first I know it because of Scripture, I know you guys have direct access to God, the living God of the universe, and I know you can hear Him. It's because that's who you are. And I also know that God brings life through us. We're the light of the world, so I know you brought light. I know you did, and we just get to choose to believe it and to step out on the stormy water of risking all the time. So God does speak through His people. He really does. As He is, so are we in this world. You're here on purpose, and at the end of the day, you can say He is good. And before your day starts, you can say He is good. And God has called us to live a life of faith. And He's every single one of you are so important that I don't think we could ever underestimate it where we're at. And then next week we're going to start on this next verse, which would be 39. And we're going to talk about Jesus and how He grew. And we're going to find out that we grow too. And it's good. It's good. It really is. It doesn't matter. It's not. It doesn't take you out of the race if you've had a difficult time. If you look at Scripture, it actually prepares you for a greater victory. The more you've been through, the harder it's been. And God has a great plan for some of us, for all of us, and we are making a difference. So I just want you to be encouraged, you know. Did anybody get an encouraging word, that you were encouraged with the word you got? Would you raise your hand? I got one. I did communion. I got an encouraging word. Yeah. Both hands. That's really good. Some of you are addicted to words from the Lord, which is a good thing, not a bad thing, right? So this week, I just want to encourage you. Step out in faith. Believe that you are the light of the world, that you're a city, and you're a part of God's plan, and that God is good, and He wants to use you. He wants to use you outside of here. He wants to use you, and really use you is a negative term, but it's not use me. I'm a part of His family. I'm a part of His plan that's bringing light and life, and I want to participate, right? So, guys, I want you to participate. This morning, so let's all stand up. Hey, Stephanie, you're here. So we're going to go on. I encourage you to read the rest of Luke chapter 2. And you can't spend too much time thinking about Jesus and His birth and the beginning of His life. I don't know if we could spend a lifetime just on that, I think. But this morning, I know the Lord wants to break in again. You see, we have a healing prayer team. We have a team, Harvey. We believe that God wants to heal the sick. We believe it. We see it all the time. Many of us have experienced that ourselves. And this morning, Pat and Marcia want to pray with you. They believe. They really do believe. If you haven't taken communion yet, I would recommend taking it before you leave. And let Jesus speak to you again. And you'll be encouraged. And He'll build your faith. And he'll prepare you for the destiny He's created you for. Amen? So let's pray. So God, I just thank You that we can trust Your plan and that You have a purpose and a plan and a destiny for every one of us. So Lord, I just ask that You would move this week, that God, we would experience Your presence, that we would hear Your voice, and we would see what You're doing. That like Jesus said, He only does what He sees His Father doing. He only says what He hears His Father saying. God, give us eyes and ears today and the rest of this week to walk the way Jesus walked. We just thank You, King. Don't forget the movie night, Tuesday night at 6. And this is Caitlin's last week here. She's going to Africa to be a part of Heidi Baker's ministry. She's in with the kids right now in the back. She's teaching on her last week. So if you know Caitlin, give her a hug and tell her how much you appreciate her. And it's exciting. She's going to go do missions. That's her call and her destiny. So she's really excited. She'll be leaving Thursday or Friday this week. All right. So God bless you guys. Thank you so much for being here. Appreciate it.